Preface: From Empire to Where? In June 2016, Britain voted to come out of the European Union, the EU. Everyone rightly said that this was, and is, a pivotal historic moment. The book can in part be read as showing how Britain has got to this point. This entails looking at the post-war, post-World War II world. In particular, the economic problems, political issues and social changes leading up to Britain joining the Common Market, or European Economic Community, the predecessor of the EU, in 1973. There was the deindustrialization that, without necessarily being linked to this, followed, as well as the more acute pressures arising from globalization, especially from the 1980s. Notably, the decline of industry, and, as a related factor, of the old industrial areas, as well as the marked growth of the service economy and the rise of London. As a result of these and other factors, a metropolitan liberal elite emerged and came to dominate both the Conservative and the Labour parties, as well as Britain in general. In turn, there was disillusionment, notably, with the rise of Scottish nationalism from the late 1960s, and later, what can be seen in the vote to leave the EU as the revolt of the English provinces, both rural and old urban. This vote has led to the probable reshaping of Britain economically, socially, geographically, and politically in the next 10 or 20 years, a reshaping that will be deeply problematic. This summary provides a chronological dynamic for what is the first historical account of our new, dramatically changing times. Let us turn back to the start. Exhausted by war, Britain in 1945 nevertheless was victorious and was still the world's greatest empire. That was, and is, clear. Its subsequent path and destination have repeatedly been unsettled and uncertain, but they have been of consequence not only for Britain, but also, to a degree, at the world scale. This is that history. Of course, the impact of the present on our understanding of the past is most readily apparent for recent history. The present, to which this history appears to be trending, changes constantly, and with those changes comes altering assessments of the past and of the significance of developments within it. This is the case not only in general, but also with reference to particular topics such as environmental change or military history. In the specific case of modern Britain, major developments in the 2010s, notably in Scottish politics and in the relations with the European mainland, led to a reading back and doing so very much looking for anticipations or, indeed, contrasts. So in the 2010s did Labour's marked movement leftward and, separately, the high rate of demographic population growth. This, then, is a history from the mid-2010s of post-1945 Britain, and a history for the late 2010s. It is up to date and will also look to the future. This history will not require any prior knowledge of British history. The book will be largely designed for non-British, especially American, readers, but will also be pertinent for their British counterparts. I have written before on parts of the period, but not for more than a decade and not covering the period as a whole. Moreover, the nature of the present and our understanding of the past have both altered. The death of Tory Britain, which appeared readily apparent during the Blair government, 1997 to 2007, after three successive Labour victories in general elections in 1997, 2001 and 2005, is no longer the case, or at least not as far as England is concerned. Moreover, in 2016, the Conservatives took second place in the elections to the Scottish Parliament behind the Scottish National Party, pushing Labour into third place, results that earlier, and as early as the 2010s, would have seemed inconceivable. The current projections for the next British parliamentary election, assuming the revision of constituency boundaries that is due in order to bring constituency electorates into roughly consistent size, suggest a significantly larger Conservative majority. I have benefited greatly from teaching the subject and from travelling widely in the British Isles, the latter taking me to many different environments, from Holy Communion service at Holy Trinity Dalston in London, with its largely black and markedly enthusiastic congregation, to the far reaches of the Outer Hebrides. I have also been fortunate to be able to meet and talk with several of those mentioned in this text, including Kenneth Baker, Tony Benn, Alec Douglas-Home, Douglas Hurd, Edward Heath, John Major, Robert Runcie, Margaret Thatcher, and Jeremy Thorpe. Chapter 1. Environment under strain. Population. In writing on Britain in the late 20th century and into the 2000s, the theme of the environment under strain principally referred, for much of the public, to green issues. This assessment reflected the extent to which these issues and the related attitudes, both of which had developed from the 1960s, had been diffused more widely into the political community. In contrast, by the mid-2010s, there was, for many, a more specific and pointed concern, that of people, and more particularly, their number. This concern related to anxieties about the consequences of both large-scale immigration and population aging due to higher life expectancy, and, linked to that, of a future acceleration in the already pronounced rise in population, with all the consequences that brought, or allegedly brought, or might bring, categories that people were often slipshod about in their comments. The population of the United Kingdom, the UK, rose from 50.2 million in 1945 to 65.1 million in mid-2015, and such figures were regarded as reasonably accurate and, if anything, as an underestimate. Trends and projections indicate a continuation of the present direction of change. Projections for 2016 by the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, a respected government body, suggest that from 2014 to 2024, the population of England, by far the most populous part of the UK, is expected to rise by 4.1 million to 58.4 million, following the 4.2 million increase in the decade to 2014. By 2039, the population of England is currently due to reach 63.3 million. In this figure, immigration is projected to raise the English population by 3.6%, with another 3.9% rise occurring from natural change, the difference between births and deaths. Immigration is also a crucial factor in natural change, as women born overseas, but giving birth after migrating, had higher birth rates than women born in Britain. This trend is likely to continue. Alongside birth rates and immigration, an aging population, due to higher life expectancy, is a key factor in the rise of the UK population. Indeed, over 65s are expected to be the fastest growing age group in all regions, with increases of more than 20% in most areas. Moreover, the number of local authority areas in which more than a quarter of residents are over 65 is expected to triple, from 28 to 84, between 2014 and 2024. With West Somerset having 36.5% of residents in that category, followed by North Norfolk another predominantly rural area with 34.6%, and the number of people in England over the age of 90 passing 500,000 in 2017 and reaching 1 million by 2034. Regional differences in population figures and trends are projected by the ONS to be pronounced, with growth in Britain strongest in the south and east of England. The population in eastern England is due to jump by 8.9% from 2014 to 6.5 million by 2024, and that of southeast England by 8.1% to 9.5 million. London's population, among whom the young are particularly prominent, is expected to grow by 13.7% by 2024 to reach 9.7 million, with the population of the London borough of Tower Hamlets in crowded East London, a centre of immigration, expected to grow by 25.1%. Of the nearly 3 million foreign-born Londoners in 2011, 40% were from Europe, 30% were from the Middle East and Asia, 20% from Africa, and 10% from America or the Caribbean. The projected population figures for 2024, and more generally, that are given by the ONS and other bodies, may underestimate the situation, as the 2014 principal projection, published by the ONS, assumed net migration at 185,000 a year after a few years, while the present level is 327,000 in the 12 months to the end of March 2016. This contrasts with government attempts in the 2010s to bring net immigration down to below 100,000 a year by the end of 2020, attempts that so far remain implausible. Figures released in October 2016 by the ONS suggested that by 2025, London's population would be close to 10 million.